Isn't that so true? Where he is holy. When he is in our midst, and I believe he is here in our midst this morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at four verses, the prologue. Hear these words from the Lord. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was revealed, and we have seen it. And we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may have fellowship along with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. The Word of God for the people of God. Is your joy complete? Can you say that this morning? Can you say that you have that type of relationship with Christ where your heart is full? I read a troubling article this past week, or actually I read it yesterday, and I had just read it, and somebody sent it to me in a text message, and then someone sent it to me in email, so I guess I was really supposed to read it. But I had already finished reading it after I got it, and it spoke of the state of Christianity today. And it said only 39% of Christians believe this is the Word of God anymore. Only 5% of Christians have told somebody about Jesus in the last year. That means 95% of Christians have said nothing to anyone about the joy that makes their life complete. Why? Why is that? You know, it reminds me of the dolphin cruise I went on while I was on vacation last week, and we got to see the little dolphins jump around, and that was all fun, and we got a little video of it, and they're cute, amazing animals. But I heard this weird noise, and I don't know if anybody else heard it. And then all of a sudden, our boat started to slow down. All of a sudden, our engine started to overheat, and the lady down on the bottom was yelling to the guy up at the top. If you've seen those kind of boats where he's way up there steering the ship and she's way down at the bottom and she's hollering at him, the engine's overheating. And so he comes down and he opens up this little compartment that I didn't even know was there and climbs down into the bow of the boat. And he's walking around in there and I just am looking and I see water everywhere down there. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that's supposed to happen or not. It doesn't look good that there's all this water, but there is, I mean, and the guy was just drenched. He came back up and he said, we've got a hose pipe that has burst. So the engine's not getting water. So now it's not staying cool. And now it's overheating. So they cut off the engine. He tried to fix it. He tried to MacGyver it with whatever he had, and he couldn't make it work. So first he thought, well, maybe we can get a guy to tow us in. And then he thought, no, I think we can limp home. And I'm thinking, well, I would have went with the tow. I mean, we're in the middle of the bay. Nowhere, I mean, that's going to be a long swim, even with the life jacket. And so we're sitting there, and we're just watching. Christopher loved it. I mean, he was asking the guy all kinds of questions. We started going back. And I said, well, where exactly are we going? And he goes, see that bridge way back there? He said, we're heading there. And I said, okay. And after about 30 minutes, I go, are we getting any closer? I mean, that bridge seems just as far away now as it did earlier. And then an hour went by and Missy came up to me and I said, that bridge is not getting any closer, no matter how much we move. I mean, we're just sputtering along. And I bring that up to you because I think that is what happens to people when it comes to Christ. We're working real hard like that engine was, but we're barely moving at all. And for us, Jesus seems like this far-off person that we never really encounter. And while we might even affirm every verse of that passage that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was from the beginning and came down and dwelled among us. If you dig deep into those words, it mirrors John 1, where John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see the same words there. And John is sharing this revelation about how Jesus stepped out of eternity, came down and dwelled with us because He loved us so, so that we might be redeemed, so that we might be bought by the blood of the Lamb, so that we might have a new life and have it abundantly, and we might be free from sin, and we might experience His joy and His completeness. But why is it that for a lot of times, I don't know about anybody else, but I can walk through life and Jesus seems like He's so far away. Like that bridge that's not getting any closer. Has anybody ever felt that way in their faith? And so how do we get from that place to the place where He's real? To the place where He comes alive in your heart. To the place where your life is surrendered to Him and you allow Him to live through you. Make no mistake about it. Jesus, yes, He came to set you free from sin. Yes, He came to redeem you. But His Spirit wasn't just given to pat you on the back and let you go your own way. His Spirit is present within the heart of every believer to lead, guide, and direct you. My friends, if you want that bridge to get closer, if you want Christ to be someone who is living in your life each and every day, you have to let Him live through you. You have to humble yourself before the Lord. You look at those words from John and you hear someone whose life was all about Christ. You hear that in Paul's writings. You hear that in Peter's writings. Paul said, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me." They knew that there's a difference between believing in Christ and living with Christ. You want to know why only 30%, 39% of the Christians don't believe that's the word? Only 39% of Christians believe that's the Word of God? Because they're struggling with that living with Christ part. They're struggling to experience the fullness of the gospel. And when you just believe a bunch of things and you don't experience them, it's easy to change directions with the passing of the wind. But when He gets a hold of you, things are different. We heard a testimony this morning about God being involved in a family's life. Anybody else ever heard the Lord speak to them? Right? Anybody else been led and directed and guided, seen prayer answered? I want to tell you something this morning. I'm not here to give you a sermon. I'm here to just share something with you. That Christ will be as involved in your life as you want Him to be. Hear that this morning. If I'm not seeing Christ at work in my life, the person I need to talk to about that is me. Because Christ is ready. Christ is willing. Christ, John talks about it. We want you to have the fellowship with God the Father and with the Son that we have. That's what will make our joy complete. Christ will be as involved in your life as you want Him to be. You want to see Christ do things at your work? Bring Him into your work. I have talked with so many people over the years inside the church, outside the church, people making monumental decisions. And I always ask this question, what do you think God wants you to do? And the most common answer I get is, I don't know. I haven't really asked. And then we wonder why only 5% of Christians has shared the gospel in the last year. You can't share what you're not experiencing. In order to share a testimony, you have to have something to say. Not just about who Christ is, that's a good start, but what he's doing in your life, what he's doing in my life. I read this years ago, and it has stuck with me ever since. They said the most common result of an encounter with God is a heart for missions. Is a heart to go and share what Christ has done and to go make a difference to the people around you. Because you can't help it. Who's ever had good news in their life? Right? All of us. How many of us couldn't pick up the phone fast enough? How many of us couldn't drive over to share the good news with somebody? My friends, that's how excited we should be about Christ. You hear it in John's voice. John's like, my joy is complete. When I get to share with people about Jesus. That makes his joy complete. Christ working in him, working through him. We're about to have vacation Bible school, all right? And my friends, we should be excited. Because you know what we're going to do for the next 5 days? We are going to get a chance, an opportunity to share Christ with people in this community. We're going to get an opportunity to share Christ with children in our church, with children in our neighborhood, with their friends, whoever ends up coming. But we've got to have something to share. I don't want Christ to be for you like that bridge was for me. Something that you know is there, but it seems so far away. That's not what John wants for you. That's not what the Apostle Paul wants for you. That's not, most importantly, what God wants for you. Instead, he wants you to remember the words of that song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he says that I'm his own. Does Christ walk and talk with you? That's the kind of relationship that he wants to have with you this morning. I invite you. We're about to sing. We're about to praise. If you have that kind of relationship, if your joy is complete, if you're excited about Jesus this morning, let's sing and praise his name together. But if you're here and you think, you know, I want to have a testimony. I want to be able to tell people about what Jesus is doing in my life, but I need to do something first. Let this be the morning that you invite him in. That you say, Jesus, I'm tired of living life on my own. I want to see you at work in my work. I want to see you at work in my home. I want to see you at work in my family. I want to see broken relationships restored. I want to see miracles. Not because I deserve them, but because we see miracles when we get with Jesus, when we follow him, when we trust him. That's the prologue to the gospel, not the gospel, but 1 John, who was written by the John who also wrote the gospel. He wants people to experience the miracle that is Jesus Christ. That's my hope and desire as well. So as we worship, as we sing, as we praise him, let the Holy Spirit move in your heart. And if he's compelling you, if he's saying, come down to this altar and meet with me. Don't be embarrassed by it. Don't let anything hold you back. You want Christ involved in your life? We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to follow, to trust, and to obey. Our fellowship will run as deep as our love for Him. So how deep is your love for Christ this morning? We know how deep His is for us. His is so deep that He died for you. His is so deep that He stepped out of time into time to save you and to save me. I don't know about anybody else, but that's somebody I want to spend some time with. That's somebody I want to get to know better. Because somebody who's willing to do that for me, I can't imagine what else that He desires for my life. But I know this, it's going to be good. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you this morning. That He is your all in all this morning.